Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is our second lesson. It's recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans. We read there in the 8th chapter, verses 14 to 17. Indeed, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery, so that you are afraid again, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. Now if we are children, we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, dear friends, on this Trinity Sunday, pastors around the world, reminiscent of Pentecost, will be in many languages telling people about God. It is on this day that we, as every Sunday, confess our faith in God, the only God, the one God. On this day, pastors in these various languages around the world will be telling Christians about and reminding Christians about the essence of God's being and the powerful works of the persons of the Trinity. There is only one God, and you should have no other gods. I'm going to do that too. I'm going to join my voice with theirs. But first, I would like you to think about this, that the God who lives in majesty and mystery, the God whose being and works are magnificent and work wonder in our hearts, that he is not just some God. He is not even merely the God. I want you to think as we begin our sermon this morning that God who lives in mystery and majesty is our God. Think of that. The Holy Trinity is our God. You and I are living in a living and eternal relationship with God the Father because he called us into his family through the work of the Holy Spirit, giving us saving faith in the suffering and death of Jesus Christ that paid for all of our sins. The Apostle Paul wrote about that here in his letter to the Romans, about the Holy Trinity, about our God. And so look with me at the majesty and the wonder that is the one true God. The Spirit leads us. The Father adopts us. The Son suffered for us. All three separate and distinct persons of the Trinity, as you see them drawn out on that little diagram there in your worship folder, that should look familiar from Catechism, I think still one of the best depictions of something that we cannot and do not understand. But each of the separate and distinct persons of the Trinity participates in our work of salvation, in his saving activity. And the result of that saving activity is this. As Paul writes to the Romans, we are the sons of God. We are God's children. We are also heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. This relationship, this living and eternal relationship that we're in with our God, is a relationship that is completely different from being a slave. Being a slave is a relationship with your master of fear. No slave would ever dare call their master father, because that's not the relationship. But God has called us into a relationship where there is no fear, where there is no uncertainty, no hesitancy, no force to follow Him. God has brought us into a relationship with our Father. The Holy Spirit has brought us, has led us into a relationship where we can call God our Father. In fact, that relationship is so intimate that the Holy Spirit led Paul to write that we Christians, when we address God, can even use the exact same word that came out of Jesus' mouth. That because we're Jesus' brothers and sisters, we can go to God and say, Abba. Because that's the word that Jesus used when he addressed his Father in heaven. For example, in Gethsemane, where he said, Abba, everything is possible for you. How do I know, how do you know that you are in God's family? Because the Holy Spirit and your spirit bear witness to that. Because the Holy Spirit has led our souls out of unbelief into the church. That's sanctification. The Holy Spirit has brought us from being outside the family of God, and He has led us into the family of God. He now moves in you and me our desire toward holiness of living. Wasn't it your desire when you got up this morning to live a holy and pleasing life to God's glory because of the gift of your Savior? So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit and our spirit together testify and know that we are God's children. Because the Holy Spirit tells us that in the Word, and the Holy Spirit moves our hearts to desire to live a holy life that is pleasing to our Father. And that's why when I said just a little while ago, you are His own dear child, that the Holy Spirit testified with your spirit, Amen. This is most certainly true. And then when I said, and may God give you the strength to live according to His will, you and I feel in our hearts and in our minds that desire, don't we? To fulfill the will of God by the Spirit's strength. The Holy Spirit could and has, but does not work apart from the gospel, the word of Christ. The good news that Jesus is my Savior is the means of grace by which the Holy Spirit has led us from unbelief into the family of God. It is through the word of God that He guides us. It is through the word that He reassures us of our familial relationship. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is our comforter, is our counselor, is the one who declares to us over and over that God is our Father and we are His children, even though we are not that by nature. I have been able to enjoy, I guess would be the right word, a similar experience with my adopted children. Most of you know our two older children are adopted. They were led into the family, to belong to our family, by their mother and I. We led them and brought them into our family. And over the years, we have guided them And we have told them and have borne witness to them and share with their spirits that they are our children, no matter what. And if they would ever doubt that, if they would ever be afraid that wasn't true, we would remind them and tell them again that it's true. And we would assure them that they are co-heirs of our inheritance along with their brother who is not adopted. That all of our children receive the same blessings. The Holy Spirit has testified and led us to know that that is true of us. We receive the same eternal inheritance as Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. We who are adopted into His family by the Spirit, He who is God's Son from eternity, we all are co-heirs of all the majesty and the wonder that will be ours in heaven. How in the world is such a familial relationship even possible? To call the God our God. To call the eternal God who lives in majesty and mystery above all things, to say that He is my God. He is my Father. He is my brother. He is my Holy Spirit, my friend, my comforter, who comes to me in the Word. It's possible because of that majesty and wonder of the one true God that, as I said, through the Spirit, the Father adopts us into His family. Adoption means to bring a child into the family that was not born into the family, to make them an equal child, a true child of your mother and your father. This is not by the child's choice, but it is by the parent's choice. John describes this in connection with believers in the first chapter of his gospel. Speaking of how we became the children of God, John writes, "They were born not of blood, or of a desire of the flesh, or of a husband's will, but born of God." Our new birth as Christians is because, as Jesus says in our gospel, we are born from above. We are born by God, and from God by the Spirit in the Word of Christ. And that's all true because God's eternal heart of love has gone out to us and has reached out to us through the Spirit. He gave us new life, as we heard last week, when we were nothing but a bunch of dead, lifeless, dusty bones that could do nothing to bring ourselves back to life spiritually. The majesty and wonder of the one true God we see in the saving activity that Jesus described to Nicodemus. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world to be born and receive the name Jesus to save us from our sins. The perfect God became perfect man for us. The Father declared Jesus' perfect obedience credited to us, and our disobedience, which demands us, if only once, credited to His Son and laid upon His Son. So think of it this way. My adoption paper is the work of redemption that Christ did on the cross. The Holy Spirit took that, and in the blood of Christ has written my name on that adoption certificate, on that adoption paper, and says, "This is for you. And now you will know that God is your Father." And then the Father, as all adoptive fathers do, We hold on to that adoption certificate. We hold on to that because that is our statement that that child is ours and that we are that child's parents no matter what. Now, Paul writes, though, that we can also expect as members of the family not only to be co-heirs with Christ of his glory, but also of his suffering. As a brother or sister of Christ, we suffer with him. And Paul writes, since we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. First of all, remember, there's no cause and effect here. I don't earn glory like Christ earned glory through suffering. But mine is simply what comes with the territory of being in God's family. My brother suffered, so through my connection to him and the family of God, I'm going to suffer with him too. As he inherited the glory in heaven, so will I, so long as I am willing to go through the suffering as part of the family. Jesus willingly suffered and endured temptation, injustice, physical pain, rejection, and even death in order to redeem us from our lost condition. As I said, as Jesus' brothers and sisters, can we or dare we expect any less? I mean, think of a child who is bullied by someone. It's a pretty safe bet that if that bully is picking on that child, that when he sees that child's brother or sister, that there's going to be that same kind of bullying. There's going to be that same kind of treatment because you're all members of the same family. And what's given to one is given to the other. Jesus was bullied by temptations to sin. So are we. Jesus was bullied by Satan, just like we are. Jesus was bullied by the unbelievers of the world who rejected him and mocked him. So are we. So Paul says, as members of God's family, we can fully expect to receive that suffering. But because Jesus overcame all those things and redeemed us, we are forgiven when we don't overcome them and give in to them. But we have the power to overcome them. And we have the assurance, as Jesus did, that even now, as we go through the suffering as a child of God, that one day we will also have the glory in heaven. I hope you sense that while it might be easy to divide the saving activity of the three persons of the Trinity in a nice, hopefully nice, sermon outline, when you talk about the wonder and the majesty of the one true God, and you can neatly divide it into what the Father does and the Spirit does and the Son does, that we remember that practically that's not so easy. In fact, you can't do it. In theology, there's an axiom that the works of God are indivisible. When one person of the Trinity does a work, when they act, the other two persons, because each person is fully God, those persons also act in that work. So that work of our redemption, that work of our sanctification, that work of our salvation at the right hand of God for eternity, you can't parse those works out and attribute them to only one person. That's the majesty and the wonder of the one true God, that all three persons working together, the Trinity's saving activity, is what we confess and what cannot be divided one from the other. This morning, I want you to think particularly of how blessed we are that the true God is not merely some God. That the true God isn't even just the true God. But I want you to think, and particularly now as we go through the Athanasian Creed, to think that and know that the one true God is our God. Think that you are His own dear child. Think that He will give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. This is most certainly true.